Welcome to the podcast, God Wants to Talk to You. 15 minutes of Bible talk hosted by a regular guy, ordinary non-church affiliated layman named Michael.
And I would be Michael. Welcome to a brand new episode. We're going to go into the entire book of Jonah. And you're like, oh no, this has got to be a long time. Well, let's break that down. Jonah is an Old Testament book. Jonah is only four chapters. I'm not going to read it because it takes 12 minutes to read it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sum it up to you, give you a summary, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. But what I really would love for you to do is to pick up your Bible and read it. That is all we ask of you here. God Wants to Talk to You. Pick up your Bible and read it. It's how you grow in your faith journey. Your eyes will open. The blind people who have eyes and aren't really blind can see when they read the Bible. You'll get these moments of, oh, that's what that means. It's so amazing. It's the greatest thing you could do. So I encourage you to do it. Like I said, if you got 12, you don't have 12 minutes for God, I bet you do. 12 minutes. Sit down and read the book of Jonah. It is four chapters. And here's what we've got in a nutshell. Jonah is a guy that does not want to do what God wants him to do. In fact, Jonah is a little brat. He is a little annoying brat. Once you read it, you'll be like, what is wrong with that guy? This is God himself speaking to him and trying to get him to do something where most people would be humbled, fall at the ground, and praise the Lord. You know what Jonah did? He ran away. And we all know the story of Jonah in the belly of the whale or the giant fish, according to the Bible. But here's what happens. God tells him, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is a huge, big city that is like every big city in the world today. It is loaded with crime. It is loaded with corruption. It is loaded with just sexual deviance and awfulness. And God is not happy about it. Now, the people there believe in God. They're just not acting in their faith. They're not participating in their faith. They know they're doing the wrong thing, and God is mad. So God tells Jonah, get yourself to Nineveh, and you tell them in 40 days, God's going to destroy the city. And what is you thinking? All right, well, that's easy. I can go there and do what God wants me to do. No, that's when Jonah runs, jumps on a boat, going the opposite direction of Nineveh, because the reason is, this place is loaded with crime. It is a horrible place. He's like, I'm going to go there and I'm going to be telling these people they're going to get killed by God in 40 days and they're going to kill me. I'm not doing this. So he sets sail in the opposite direction. And of course, God makes the ocean storm. A little similarity there we see where Jesus is crossing in the boats with the disciples. He's asleep on the boat and the sea's going crazy and the disciples wake him up and say, you know, please help us. We're going to die. How can you sleep? Well, the same exact thing happens here. The people on the ship, the crew, they're freaking out. And what happens? Jonah's down below sleeping it off. He's fine. He knows he's going to be fine. And they come to him and say, wake up, pray to your God that we all may be saved. And that's not exactly what happens. Whereas Jesus himself stood up and said, calm down, and the water just stopped, the wind stopped and everything, because, well, he was Jesus. Jonah, like I said before I started this story, is a little brat, a little hissy-throwing brat. So they inevitably throw Jonah overboard into the sea to appease God, and they beg God for mercy. They're like, please don't hold this against us, but this man is running from you. That is the reason we're in this storm. We're all going to die. We're throwing him overboard. They throw him overboard. He thinks he's going to get drowned. No, he gets swallowed by a fish. He's in the belly for 3 days. And then he has some gratitude when he gets swallowed up by the fish, because he's like, you know what? I really feel like I should probably give thanks to God for saving me from the depths of the ocean. And he starts coming around while he's in the belly of the whale. So God then says, fish, go barf this guy up on the beach, which is exactly what happens. And then God says, now get to Nineveh and do what I told you. So reluctantly still, he goes into Nineveh and he walks through saying, basically, repent, repent, repent. God is going to destroy this city in 40 days. And people listen to him and people believe him. and everyone believes him. In fact, the turnaround in Nineveh is the fastest we've ever seen in the Bible. When God is mad and he's going to, you know, unleash his wrath, typically he has to unleash a little bit of wrath before people start to pay attention and repent. Well, Nineveh repents, and there's a king of Nineveh, a huge city. Hundreds of thousands of people live there at the time, and there is a king, and the king, it gets word to him, and the king orders not only is everyone there to walk around in sackcloth and ashes, which is what they did in repentance, the Jewish people, they would wear sackcloth, like literally like a burlap bag for clothing, and then they would put ashes on themselves, and they would walk around fasting, no food, and they would repent and ask God for forgiveness. And not only did all of the people, including the royals, the most high, the rich, the poor, everyone did that in Nineveh, but the king ordered not only that, that they were had to put sackcloth and ashes on their animals and not feed them. So you had every human and animal in Nineveh repented and came back to God. And God was pleased. That's what God wanted. God doesn't want to hurt us. God doesn't want to destroy us. He's pleased with that. And so he doesn't destroy the town. Now, here's our little brat Jonah, who had come through. All right, I did what you said. And then he kind of like wandered out of town, sat up on a hill, had a little perch, was going to watch the town be destroyed because he knew they were wicked, awful people. He didn't know they had all repented. And then God came to him and said, no, they repented. This is good. This is what I wanted. I'm not going to destroy it. And Jonah throws the biggest fit with God and continues to be an absolute little brat. So that's what we see. Jonah's like, why did you have me do this? Why did I have to go through all of this when you were going to spare them? I knew you had mercy. That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. And he started trying to weasel out. And God's like, should you really be mad about this? And Jonah never sees his wrong in this. We never see how, if God deals with Jonah again, that's the end of the book of Jonah. It's four chapters and it's really good. But what's important here? What really the underlying story, besides the fun story of he gets thrown off the boat and swallowed by a giant fish? Well, we've got the capital of Nineveh, which is of the Assyrian Empire. They believe in God. They know who God is. They know who the God of the Jews are. But they're brutal. They're vicious. They're violent. They're proud. They're boisterous. They're hated by everyone in the region. And when Jonah comes through there finally and tells them 40 days to repent, you're going to be destroyed. It's, yeah, you know, you're thinking, and I see when I hear this story, when I read this story, I'm like, oh, this is Los Angeles. This is where I live. This is Los Angeles. We're decadent and brutal and proud and, you know, and hated by many parts of the world. And the things we do here are vile as a people. And it's, think about it, you're drowning in corruption. You're the nightmare of how awful and polluted and crime and everything else. But you walk around thinking, well, somebody else is going to fix it. Nothing I can do. And you just kind of we plow ahead living in these awful, ungodly conditions. And I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm an active part of this myself. But here we are, you know, this is very relevant to now. Like, are we on that? Do we know? We don't have a prophet to come around right now and say, hey guys, get it together. In 40 days, God's going to destroy Los Angeles or the United States or any other country here in the world. What's going to happen? But are we worthy of that same punishment? Are we not the same that these people were in Nineveh? Yes, we are. So then you find the most unlikely prophet in the world, a guy that didn't want to be a prophet, a guy that tried to run from the prophet, a guy that didn't even cooperate with God in the slightest. He runs the opposite direction. He gets angry when God shows mercy. And basically, he wants to sit up on the hill and eat his popcorn and watch Nineveh burn. Well, this is going to be a good one. I'm going to sit up here and watch it go. Yet, God uses him. God takes this angry, reluctant, politically incorrect nightmare, and that's his messenger. And that's the person that God uses. Right now, the world is full of people that feel disqualified from speaking the truth. People that are too compromised, too angry, too late to the party. How many times have you felt that in your faith? Well, I can't be saved. I'm too angry. I'm angry all the time. I'm too old. I've done this for too long. I've been this way. Yet, that's exactly the voices that God wants to use. Over and over again, the people who are seem like the last people in the world you'd ever want. Why don't you go use a priest? Why don't you go use a world leader? Why don't you go get the Pope to make your message? But that's not who God uses. We know time and time again, and still to this day, God uses people exactly like Jonah, and we are exactly like Jonah. Here we are. My hands up. I'm like, oh yeah. And I'll tell you, when I felt like I got the calling to start the podcast, I was like, yeah, no. And this is true story. I've told you guys some other weird stuff, so I may as well go all in here. I seriously was in my car talking to God, going, God, if you really want me to do this, like when it came about in church on a New Year's Eve. It was a guest. I'm Catholic. I was in Catholic Mass. And there was a guest in, and he was an archbishop from Canada. And he came in and did our Mass in Los Angeles that day at our little church. And then his message was, use your talents for God. All of you have some talent. He's like, you know, you could pass out pamphlets at the end of Mass. You could maybe fix things at church, like whatever your talent is. And then he gave a reference of someone who did a podcast at his church in Canada. And it became a very popular podcast. And I was like, man, I'd been doing radio for like 20-something years at that point and doing a podcast almost every day for the 13 years at that point. So I'm like, all righty, I have to listen. This is God talking to me because I know how to do this. I had a radio studio in my home. It hadn't burned down at that time. And I'm like, I can afford some time to do a podcast on Bible. And I really loved reading the Bible. And I was already really getting into my faith journey. But I didn't want to do it. And I'm like, it's extra work. And I have to do this. And I'm not qualified. I'm dumb. Like, what do I know? I'm a security guard now. That's all I am. I used to be on the radio. But when I was on the radio, I told dirty jokes. And I was a shock jock moron. I'm not qualified to do this. I can't do this. And so I was making every excuse. And like Jonah, I was kind of running away from it. And I remember being in my car and I was driving home and I was like, God, if you want me to do this, let me know. Like, let me know. And I'm not kidding. A car cut me off at that moment and it literally zoop right in front of me and I'd slam on my brakes. And it was this tiny little car and it had a license plate. Literally, because I could see nothing but the license plate on this car, it cut in front of me and like slammed on its brakes. And the license plate was like, yes, that was the license plate on this car. It was like, yes. And I'm like, okay. And I even said, okay, I understand, I'll do it. And I did it. I didn't fight him anymore on this. But I feel a lot like Jonah. I'm that little brat dummy that's not doing what needs to be done and running away from it. And I think so many times we run away from what is right. We got an entire city here now. Here's the great part of this story. So we got the guy that doesn't want to do it. God's exactly picked, no, you're the guy that's going to do it. You're going to go there and tell them to repent or I'm going to destroy the place in 40 days. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to get killed, clubbed, and thrown in jail. And then the entire city, even the animals, repent. It's the largest scale, fastest repentance in the entire Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it just, this prophet comes through and tells them to repent, and they do. The entire society, top to bottom. And not only do they repent, and they repent immediately, but they don't, well, it's because, you know, we got these guys over here. Well, we got these guys that believe in the sun god, and blah, 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 it's their fault. And that's why we're like, no. They all just were like, you're right, we're evil, we're bad. They're not trying to spin it. They're not trying to point fingers. They repent and they make a U-turn on their horrible behavior and come back to God. And they all repent. It's an amazing story of repentance for the city of Nineveh, for everyone there. So what happens when you get that kind of results? from sending your messenger, God is pleased. And God says, you know what? They turned from their evil ways. I'm not going to destroy them. And he didn't. And he doesn't bring destruction on them. And then we get to, you know, Jonah, who's mad. Who's like, wait a minute, I got my popcorn ready and I'm up on this hill to watch you destroy this town and now you're not going to destroy it? And he gets mad. The book ends with Jonah sulking. God dared to be gracious to his people, hundreds of thousands of people in this town who were just like us. And here's Jonah sitting up on the top, watching almost gleefully because he didn't like the Ninevites. He was like, these people are awful, destroy them. He was hoping. So I think the lesson to be learned here is it's not too late. It's never too late. Not only is it not too late for you to be Jonah, not too late for you to come clean and to do what God wants you to do. You're not as bad of a person as you think you are. God loves you. But it's not too late for you to repent. If an entire city of corruption and awfulness can repent and come back to God, like immediately make a U-turn, we can all do it. We can be saved. This is an amazing story of God's grace and God's love and God's compassion for his people. So you take this reluctant, angry, wrong messenger and think, how many of those are out there? How many times have you walked down the street and there's like, you know, like, that's not like a street preacher. That's a crazy man. But you're like, he's talking about God and you just kind of, hey, he's crazy and you ignore him. Maybe don't do that. Maybe hear him out. Maybe he's a messenger from God. It's a really great story. And I think a lot of us are like the people of Nineveh. The cities of this world are like the city of Nineveh. And I think a lot of us are like Jonah. And here you are. Jonah was like happy to see this city be destroyed because I think he hated those people in that awful city more than maybe he even loved God. And we can't be like that. It's a true story of redemption and people being saved and people coming back to God, and it's never too late. And even when the clock is ticking and, oh man, you're going to get it and you're going to get it soon, it could come tomorrow. Jesus could come back tomorrow. Judgment could be here tomorrow. We don't know. So as always, think about repenting. Think about coming to God. But think about being Jonah and walking through town and saying, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand and we're all going to be judged. Repent and come back to God. Because that is a wonderful thing that could save a lot of people. I would love to see everybody in heaven when we're all said and done here on this planet. And we can do that by coming back to God. But a great book, a great read. It is the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Just 4 chapters, 12-minute read. I think I rambled for way more than 12 minutes. I could have just read the whole thing, but I wanted to break it down as well. So thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you again very soon with another episode of God Wants to Talk to You.
If you would like to contact us here at God Wants to Talk to You, follow us and reach out through Instagram at God Wants to Talk to You. Until next time, may the peace of our Lord be with you.